Blog Talk Radio.
Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Apostle R.D. Wiggins will be here to do our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in at 7 p.m. and participate in our Bible study class for this evening. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. Shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise God, everybody. Woo! Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, and this is our sweet hour of prayer. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204 because our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. So again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. So while we're waiting, I will play a selection by the Wiki Tones, God Sustain Me. Amen.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, let's assemble. We gonna have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God.
Deserve his
unmerited favor. And no, I didn't deserve the gift of His grace. Jesus paid the price, covered me in His blood. His love, only His love, restores my soul forever. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, He touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel a mold of me. Yes.
And no matter,
no matter what the touch, somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call Him,
Jesus,
you gotta call on Him,
sustaining me.
My Lord.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour,
sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me
trouble,
God is sustaining
trouble on the mind.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes you breathe.
Amen. Praise be to God. God is sustaining me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So at this time, again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. And in the meantime, I will play another selection, Hold On to His Hymn. So Hold On to the Hem of His Garment by Apostle R.D. Wiggins. Amen. Praise be to God.
Oh, yeah. People come. Sometimes we get along, and sometimes we don't. Treat everybody like you wanna be treated. Yep, there will be times when your efforts will be defeated. I know sometimes you're heavy laden burdened. Can't stop your heart from hurting. You're searching deep within. Where did it all go wrong? And you need a savior to give you the strength to go on. Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem,
to the hem
of his garment.
All you need is a little faith to receive saving grace.
Hold on,
hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Of his garment.
Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Story about a woman who had an issue of blood. 12 long years she was flowing like a flood. Even the doctor had given up on hope. But she heard about a man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees. She caught on to his garment. Then he said, somebody touch me. Jesus could feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, your faith has made you whole. Hold on,
hold on
to the hem of his garment. Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Oh yes, my.
Garment.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. No, 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 no. You just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Jesus
garment.
Hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes,
to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh,
hold,
yes, he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681, and call in your prayer requests, for my God is truly able.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Which is entitled, It's Who You Know. Amen. Praise be to God. And our scripture reading is coming from Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 7 through 11. Praise God, where it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, the text for this message is coming from Philippians 3:8, and it says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. To God be the glory for the reading of the word. Amen. Again, the title of this message is, It's Who You Know. The writer says, in early 2019, Charlie Vandermeer died at the age of 84 for many decades. He was known to thousands and thousands of people as Uncle Charlie, the host of the national radio broadcast Children's Bible Hour. The day before Uncle Charlie slipped into eternity, He told a good friend, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Of course, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Even as he faced the end of his life, Uncle Charlie could not help but talk about Jesus and the necessity for people to receive him as their Savior. The Apostle Paul considered knowing Jesus his most important task. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, Philippians 3:8-9. And how do we know Jesus? If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, Romans 10:9. We may know facts about Jesus. We may know all about the church, and we may even be familiar with the Bible. But the only way to know Jesus as Savior is to accept his free gift of salvation. He's the who we need to know. Amen? Praise be to God. He is the only one that we need to know. Question. In your relationship with Jesus, how have you experienced that it's who you know, not what? What has Christ's forgiveness meant to you? Think about those two questions. Amen? Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, we pray for all who we have yet to come to know Jesus Christ by believing in him and accepting his sacrifice on their behalf. And if we are one who hasn't received Jesus as my Savior, may we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise God. So for Paul, when Paul wrote, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead, he was not implying uncertainty or doubt. He was unsure of the way that he would meet God, whether tuition or by natural death. He did not doubt that he would be raised, but attainment of it was within God's power and not his own. Praise be to God. So at this time, again, I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, and this is our sweet hour a prayer where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And if you have a prayer request or you want us to pray for someone that a family member, a friend, a neighbor, or even an enemy, again, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. We're just a phone call away. Amen. Praise God. So in the meantime, I will play another selection, because we all know that a family that prays together stays together. Amen. Hope you enjoy this selection. God. Five, four, three, two, one, 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 one.
wholesome and good. With half a brain it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm teaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs the good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Before the child, if you spare the rod, teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day, or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me. A better than kisses from an enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally win. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace for self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counseling and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking in the proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Lord, Lord, you are a righteous and holy God, and you have called me to be a righteous woman. When I fall short, forgive me and renew a spirit of holiness within me. Lead me, Lord, along your path and guide me far from the temptations of this world. Let your holy word guide my actions, and let your love reside in my heart this day and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And it's as simple as that. Just a short prayer to the Father, asking for forgiveness, asking for peace, love, and salvation, revelation, discernment, whatever it is that God puts on your heart to ask prayer for, we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen? All you have to do is call 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection, because we all need God's revelation knowledge. Amen?
I'm all alone, searching for an answer to go on in this life. I'm tired of failure. I tried so many times to find my way, and I'm not sure.
A little bit about have the courage to trust God. In Proverbs 3:5-6, in the CSB Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways and he will guide you on the right path. Amen. When our dreams come true and our plans prove successful, we find it easy, our Creator, and easy to trust His divine providence. But in time of sorrow or hardship, we may find ourselves questioning God's plan for our lives. On occasion, you will confront circumstances that troubles you to the very core of your soul. It is during these difficult days that you must find the wisdom and the courage to trust your Heavenly Father, despite your circumstances. Are you a woman who seeks God's blessings for yourself and your family? Then trust Him. Trust Him with your relationships. Trust Him with your priorities. Follow His commandments and pray for His guidance. Trust your Heavenly Father day by day, moment by moment. In good times and in trying times, then wait patiently for God's revelation and prepare yourself for the abundance and peace that will most certainly be yours when you do. Amen? And then sometimes the very essence of faith, it's trusting God. In the midst of things, He knows good and well we cannot comprehend. Do not be afraid, then, that if you trust or tell others to trust, the matter will end there. It's only the beginning and the continual foundation. When we trust Him, the Lord works, and His work is important, is the important part of the whole matter. Are you serious about wanting God's guidance to become the person He wants you to be? The first step is to tell God that you know you won't, you cannot manage your own life, that you need His help. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. As God's children, we are the recipients of lavish love, a love that motivates us to keep trusting even when we have no idea what God is doing. Amen? So let me leave you with this thought. Because God is trustworthy, and because He has made promises to you that He intends to keep, you are protected. Amen? Now, 1 Peter 1 and 5 in the New Living Translation says, "And God, in His mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation, because you are trusting Him." Praise be to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 in the CSB says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." John 14, 1 through 3 in the New King James Version says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Praise be to God. And Psalms 118, 8 through 9, King James Version says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in prince. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of His mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, let our faith be in you and in you alone. Without you, we are weak. But when we trust you, we are protected in every aspect of our life. Father, let us place our hope and our trust in your infinite wisdom and your boundless grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And again, this is our Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray from 6 to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Fridays. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Amen. So at 7 p.m., our very own Apostle the Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. In the meantime, I will play another selection while we're waiting. Praise God.
This is for my sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is for my sister. Stay strong.
Yeah.
I pray your strength in Christ. Don't let the game steer you wrong. On the same drink, water check, same cheap boys, same kush smoke, same conversation, different stuff, same temptation, same game, same honey, same front, like you got paper, it make you feel big, carrying his gun, tough guy, such a deadbeat to his kids, but he's so fly, 90% of his conversation was all lies, he won't shoot for the price of one, you and your sister like wine, so he buy a drink to get you drunk. Now you're working on your sister's side. Every opportunity get you wish you pass by. Now you both wet, controlled by another power. It's quiet as it's kept. Every thug up in the club plot with no regret. I used to plot too. I must confess it wasn't right. But that's the price my sister pay. Every night she play.
She plays the street life. Cause there's no place she can go.
The street life don't come with no proposal. Only believe having what you see. And only 2% of what you hear. Pray your strength with me. Your mouth, but he's far from your heart. No doubt you can see love from the start. Ever tied your thumbs, tripping on your drink, sitting at the bar, 5 drinks a minute. Now you on a dance floor, heavy breathing, bumping and grinding like you want more. Sweating teeth, dropping it low to the floor. This represent everything you stand for. Showing the games you sold, not told. Remember you reap what you sold.
Some people see just who you wanna be, and every night you shine.
And the ballers don't care for
you. You trust your walk, your tongue.
Time to
shine for Christ. You're who you think you are. She plays a street life. Cause there's no place she can go. Street life. It's the only life she knows. Street life. And there's a thousand cards to play. Oh, in the street life. Street life. You play your life.
Oh, no, no. He attacks you tonight. Forget you tomorrow. One night stand in the back of the car instead of demanding respect. You let him trick your heart. You surviving on the edge, hoping you find a baller bouncing around from club to car. He only likes you enough when you're getting it up. Your friendship can't be taught. So when he sets you up, remember respect can't be bought. So be the real queen. Give me all.
Let the people see
what a real
who
sister
you wanna
says.
Be. And every night you shine,
what a real sister
just
says.
Like a superstar.
The
life that plays, a chance to masquerade. You trust your walk, your tongue.
The ladies are
feeling,
but the heart is
straight. Oh, there's no place she can go. No place she can go.
Christ Jesus died for us all. Remember patience, grace, death, all the money, material things. Since we never feel an empty heart, don't be ashamed to call on Jesus' name. He'll heal your pain, erase your scar. If you go and worship Son, you can remember Jesus gave his life, and he loves you for who you really are. You a temple of God, a queen, so keep your faith up and look towards the star. I'm sending back Christ Jesus to point the way. Come to world of the living. Come to Jesus' name. Jesus loves you. And I love you too. Come to world of the living.
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Now at this time, our very own Sister Barbara Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening. She will be filling in for Apostle R.D. Wiggins. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening. God bless you.
Bless you. How's everybody feeling?
Blessed. Thank you.
Wonderful. Good. Wonderful. Thank you. Amen. We're going to continue. I'm going to say a prayer, but we're going to continue from part 5 of chapter 21, talking about in relation to the unrighteous on page 152. And I'll open in prayer. Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to praise you. Father God, thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a beautiful day, even though it was raining, a beautiful day that we've never seen before. Father God, we thank you for everything that you've done, everything you're going to do, and everything you're doing right now. We pray that you'll bless everyone on this line, everyone listening on their computers, on the telephones, wherever they may be. Bless them, keep them, nourish them, nurture them, love them as you only you can. So, Lord, we bless, we love, we honor you. We give you glory and praise from this day forward. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Praise
God. Amen. So, any questions about what we've talked about, or are we just going to get right into it?
No.
No. Okay. In relation to the unrighteous, part A, angels announce impending judgment. We see Genesis 19 and 13. Evangelist, would you get that? Revelation 14, 6 through 7. And 19, 17 through
18.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. In relation to the unrighteous.
The unrighteous.
Okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Part 5 on page 152. And if Lady Nadine could get Revelation.
What would you want me to get?
Revelation 14, 6 through 7 and 19, 17
okay.
through 18. And Evangelist Hilda first get 19 and 13.
Sure.
Genesis.
Okay.
Genesis 19:13. Angels announce impending judgment.
Okay. For we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Oh, wow.
So do you have any idea what was being talked about at that point?
You know, I didn't read it, so I'm kind of, but I think they were talking about, they were worshiping, like idols and stuff, and the They were disobeying God's commandments, so they so he brought down the angels to pour out well, they call it fire and brimstone upon the earth.
Okay. Nadine, you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, because this is this story. This is coming from, you know, I got to look up stuff. I can't. it comes from Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right. Right. The wickedness
the
of Sodom.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So who were the angels announcing impending judgments upon?
Wasn't it the people
They were talking to, was it Lot? People?
Was it Lot?
It wasn't Lot. It was the, let me see what's before that.
No, you're right. Don't change it, Mike. I'm just saying, was it Lot?
Well, the two men said to Lot. They were telling Lot about what they were about to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So who were they speaking of when that was said to Lot?
Well,
you remember the story
the
of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the strangers came and they wanted to bother the men that were inside the house, and they said, Lot said, don't bother the men. You can have my two daughters. And they said, no,
mm-hmm.
we want the men. All right? And I'm looking
right.
at 12, it says, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out
mm-hmm.
and spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. All right, and then I'm going to skip down to 19, which was read. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Amen. And who's
mm-hmm.
saying that? Who said that?
Lot.
Amen. Amen. All right. So let's go back to Revelation 14, 6 through 7, if you would. And
yep.
then 19, 17 through 18. Still talking about angels announcing impending judgment.
Impending judgment, yeah. So it says, and I saw another angel flying directly overhead, having an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who reside on the earth and to every nation and tribe and language and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship the one who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. And 19 says, and 17 to 18, and I saw one angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come, assemble for the great banquet of God, in order that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of military tribunes and the flesh of the powerful and the flesh of horses and those seated on them and the flesh of all people.
Mm. What is that talking about? Well, other than judgment.
Well, yeah. What's the demise
of those who have been disobedient to God.
Okay.
And gather them all up. It's a great banquet for them to
and
eat
let them
the
know
flesh.
What time it was. And let them know what time mm-hmm. it was. Amen. Thank you. Part B, angels inflict judgments on the unrighteous. Acts 12:23, evangelist and first lady, Revelation 16:1, since you're still in 16,
mm-hmm.
in Revelation.
Says, instantly, excuse me, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died.
Now, is this the same Herod that wanted Jesus killed?
No. I think this one is, what's his name? The Agrippa.
This is the one that killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So this is a king. The other one, I think, was a governor. No, he was a king, too. The one that wanted to kill all the newborns, well, the two-year-olds.
Yeah, there was a lot of Herods.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Each kingdom had a Herod.
Okay, so this one.
Separated by the sons of Herod.
This is the King Herod from Judea. Went down from Judea mm-hmm. to Syria and there abode. All right. Yeah, but this one, just like the other one. The other one died of gonorrhea and gangrene.
Yeah.
All right. That's the one that wanted to kill Jesus, baby Jesus. And this one, he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. All right. And even with that, the word of God grew and multiplied. Praise God. So who brought this upon King Herod?
Who brought it upon him? Didn't he brought it upon himself because he I'm getting them mixed up with the statue of wasn't there the people
yeah, that
had made a gold?
And Darius.
Okay. Yeah, I'm getting the stories mixed up now.
Okay, so who brought this upon King Herod?
So I'm supposed to read this, I guess, from so I'm going to read this section. So we know what's happening here with King Herod. And
what are you reading?
It looks like it's from Acts 23.
Okay.
Right before.
Before.
So
you gotta go to 20.
Okay.
What verse are you reading, please?
I'm reading 12. From Acts 12. I'm starting from 19, I think. It's enough to start from 19.
Well, the 19,
let's
okay.
see.
But right ahead.
All right. All right.
The commander took him by the hand and, stepping aside, began to inquire of him privately. We don't know who he took by the hand. Well, we'll see. What is it that you have to report to me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to ask you,
to
bring Paul. Acts 23. Oh, it's 12.
Oh. 12 and 23.
Acts 12.
Yeah, verse 23, but 12. Okay.
All right. In the wrong chapter. Let's see. So it's 12. And it was 12 and 23. 20
mm-hmm.
But I'm starting from 19. Okay.
Yes.
So when Herod had searched for him and had found him, oh, he's searching for Peter. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me go back a little bit more. But Peter continued knocking, and when he had mm-hmm. opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. So this is when Peter had gotten out of prison, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh. And when they saw him, they were amazed. But motioning to them with his hands to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, report these things to James, the brethren. Then he left and went to another place. Now, when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. When
so
Herod,
what's that? Stop. What does that mean?
They didn't, they it says, now when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have happened to Peter.
So what does that mean?
They, because Peter had, you know, he had gotten away. They didn't know where Peter was because Peter had.
Okay.
So what does
that mean?
That there was no small disturbance among the soldiers.
Right. What does that mean? Small disturbance. Period.
No commotion. No arguing. No fighting among each other.
An uproar among the soldiers?
Right. They were excited. They had a prisoner. And now the prisoner mm-hmm. is gone. So now there
right.
is no... There was a lot of ruckus going on. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. They were excited
right.
that he was not there.
Right. So
okay.
they were like, where is he? Where
yes,
did he go? How did he get away? Are we going to still have our lives? Are we going to die?
They knew they was going to
yeah,
die.
Yeah, they
would
be in trouble. The prisoner has escaped. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Continue.
So when Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution.
See?
Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. This is Herod. Now he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and with one accord they came to him. And having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they were asked for peace because their country was fed by the king's country.
Mm-hmm.
On an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. People kept crying out, the voice of a god and not of a man.
Mm.
And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died.
Ah.
Mm.
So
the word of the Lord continued to grow and
Amen.
To be multiplied. That's 24.
All right. Amen. So what happened? You begged Matilda, what happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
The scripture was just read in your hearing. What did you hear?
Oh, that he died because he didn't give God the glory, so God struck him down.
Okay. All right.
With the
he
worm
was speaking,
that was eating him
and
from the inside.
And he didn't give God the glory in his speech.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. And so he was struck down.
Yes.
And eaten by the worms. Amen. Amen. Good. All right. So Revelation 16 and 1.
Maybe. Okay.
Thank you for that.
That is. Amen. 16 and 1 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God."
Wow. So what is about to happen, without going to commentary or just on your own belief, what do you think is going to happen? Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm here. Nadine?
I was talking to Nadine. I'm asking her a question. She just read 16 and 1. What's that?
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist, what do you think? 16 and 1.
Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath. So that means that, well, for me, it was the end of them. That was the seventh plague, where he poured out the fire and brimstone, or to destroy anyway, it was God's judgment upon the earth.
Right. So the wrath of God,
right,
is going to be poured out upon the people.
Yes.
Amen. Upon the people. All right. See, angels will separate the righteous from the unrighteous. Would you read that, Evangelist, Matthew 13, 39 through 40? Matthew 13, 39 through 40.
Okay. 13, 39, 36, 37, 38.
Nadine, you still there?
Well, yeah.
She
must have stepped away. Okay,
not Matthew 13, yes, ma'am. 39.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Matthew 13, 39 through 40. Jesus is talking.
319.
The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. Amen.
All right.
So they're going to separate the good from the bad, and the bad is going to be burned up or cast down into hell's fire, and the righteous will go with God to heaven.
So what are the weeds?
The wheat is the people.
No, I didn't say, listen to what I'm saying. I didn't say weak. I said weed.
Weed. W-H-E-A-T.
What is the wheat?
Those are the angels, the good ones.
No.
Then it just said that the enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. So the harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels.
Right, the harvesters are not the wheat. The harvesters
are the good people.
Right. And who are the tares?
The tares are the bad people.
The evil ones. All right. Okay. So God is going to separate the wheat from the tares. So remember that little parable when it talks about how they will grow together, and someone suggested that you separate them, and he said no.
Right.
Allow them to grow together, and at the end, they will be separated. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Let me see. I'm looking at 27. Okay, it's okay. I don't want to take too much time on that. But anyway, part 6, in relation to the church, A, basic ministry. Basically, angels help believers. Evangelist Hebrews 1 and 14.
Hebrews 1 and 14? Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for the people who will inherit salvation. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any thought about that?
Well, my Bible says, is it right? It does say that. But it says, are they not all spirits engaged in special service, sent on assignment for the sake of those who are going to inherit salvation? Just put it in a question.
Uh-huh. Same in mind. Nikki and Jim. What does that mean to you, Nadine?
Revelation.
It's like we have, that's it. Basically, angels help us. You know, they're set on assignment,
mm-hmm.
I would say, for those of us who are saved.
Mm-hmm.
They're special assignment.
Amen. Thank you. All right, part B, background ministry. Angels have been involved in communicating and revealing the meaning of truth, which the church benefits from today. Daniel 7:15 through 27, Evangelist Hilda. 8:13 through 26, Nadine. 9:20 through 27, Evangelist.
Pastor's the one, he can take one.
But he could take over the lesson, really, if he wants to. Good evening, Apostle.
No. He could take a verse.
Good evening, Apostle. How are you? Hello.
He's not talking today.
All right. What did you tell me to do?
I want Evangelist to read Daniel 7:15 through 27. Good evening. How are you?
Okay, I'm going to find Daniel.
Good.
You good?
I'm trying to get set up, so you just have to bear with me.
We can't hear you.
I'm just trying to get set up, so you have to bear with me. Y'all keep going. You know, I'm just trying to set up because I just got set up here.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so what do I have?
You have Revelation. You have Daniel 8:13 through 26.
Okay.
Evangelist has Daniel 7:15 through 27 first.
Okay.
Nadine has 8:13 through 26. Evangelist has 9:20 through 27. And Nadine round us out with Revelation 1 and 1, 22, 6 and 8. Okay. You got Daniel 15?
Yep. 15:7. Okay. I, Daniel, was troubled by all I had seen, and my visions terrified me. So I approached one of those standing beside the throne and asked him what it all meant. He explained it to me like this. These four huge beasts represent four kingdoms that will arise from the earth. But in the end, the holy people of the Most High will be given the kingdom, and they will rule forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the four beasts. The one soul different from the others, and so terrifying. It had devoured and crushed its victims with iron teeth and bronze claws, trampling their remains beneath its feet. I also, how far am I supposed to go?
27.
I also asked about the 10 horns on the four beasts' head and the little horn that came up afterward and destroyed three of the other horns. This horn had seemed greater than the others, and it had human eyes and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly. As I watched, this horn was raging war against God's holy people and was defeating them until the Ancient One, the Most High, came and judged in favor of his holy people. Then the time arrived for the holy people to take over the kingdom. Then he said to me, this fourth beast is the fourth world power that will rule the earth. It will be different from all the others. It will devour the whole world, trampling and crushing everything in its path. Its 10 horns are 10 kings who will rule that empire. Then another king will arise, different from the other 10, who will subdue three of them. He will defy the Most High and oppress the holy people of the Most High. He will try to change their sacred festivals and laws, and they will be placed under his control for a times and half a time. But then the court will pass judgment, and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. 27. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will last forever, and all rulers will serve and obey him. Amen.
Thank you. Wow. Any thoughts about that?
Well, that will be the end when Christ will come but wait a minute. Now it's saying that the beast, the first one of them, isn't those what's those countries? Know the countries. The ones that we're having problems with right now.
Like Russia, China.
Communists? Yeah, the communists.
They're not all communists. Some of them are just terrorists, you know?
Yeah, where they're going to try to come and take over, I say the United States, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when Christ is going to come and pass judgment and destroy all of them. And then he's protecting his righteous people that, you know, from the evil of the devil. So that's all it is, the devil.
Nadine, thank you. You have anything to comment on?
No.
Okay, I like this part, 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and law. That's what's happening now. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion. That's what's happening now. Consume and to destroy it. If you pay attention to what, I'm not saying that you don't, what's happening in the news with the situation with Trump, remember all that stuff with Attorney General Barr, and they were saying how he read this like 400-page document and that Mueller had written, his agency had written, and he found of a 500-page report which so-called exonerated Trump. Amen? So now we have a judge, I forget her name, who's examining all of this again. So they're saying, they're telling stuff that was never even mentioned before. And all of that reading, none of it exonerates Trump. You know? So they over there, they're trying to change laws. Look at the voting law, particularly in the South. They're trying to have a new law. Amen.
Amen. It's happening now. Trump only served the 3.5 years. Well, almost 4 years. So that's what they're saying, you know.
He served his full term. They raided Giuliani. So who knows what they're going to find and who they're going to find out of the documents that Giuliani has.
Exactly. And then Giuliani didn't have time to destroy them. So they
caught his behind.
Yep.
Because he would have thought they would have invaded his home and his office. That's the deal.
I know.
Right. He might have been saving that stuff to write a book. Who knows?
Yep. That's what they usually do.
And he's gonna write his memoirs.
Yes.
Exactly.
But we have to remember what's done in the dark, my grandmother always said it, will come to the light. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. It will.
It fools some of us sometime, but sooner or later, it's going to come to the light. All right. Daniel 8:13-26, madam, if you would read that.
Yeah. There it comes.
It's happening now.
So we're seeing how the angels are involved in revealing the truth. Thank you, Jesus. So then I heard the Holy One speaking. And another Holy One said to that particular one who was speaking, how long will the vision about the regular sacrifice apply? While the transgression causes horror, so as to allow both the holy place and the host to be trampled? He said to me, for 2300 evening and morning, then the holy place will be properly restored. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, sought to understand it, behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Uliah. And he called out and said, Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision. So he came near to where I was standing. And when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. Now while he was talking to me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and made me stand upright. He said,
what happened there?
Behold.
What happened there?
Why he fell asleep, I don't know.
No.
He fell out of his face.
Yes. Because
in a deep sleep. Okay.
He sank in his face with deep sleep.
Wow.
But he touched me and he made me stand upright. He's like, you need to get up.
Exactly.
He said, behold, I am going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation. For it pertains to the appointed time of the end. The ram, which you saw with the two horns, represents the king of Media and Persia.
Mm-hmm.
The goat, the shaggy goat, represents the kingdom of Greece.
Mm.
And the large horn that is between his eyes is the first king. The broken horn and the four horns that arose in its place represents the four kingdoms which will arise from his nation, although not with his power. In the latter period of their rule, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. His power will be mighty, but not by his own power. And he will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. He will destroy mighty men and the holy people. And although his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence, and he will magnify himself in his heart, and he will destroy many while they are at ease. He will even oppose the prince of princes, but he will be broken without human agency. The vision of the evening and the morning, which has been told, is true. But keep the vision secret, for it pertains to the many days in the future.
26. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just read 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Amen. Anybody want to expound on that? Nadine, you want to expound on what you read?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the king, the angel was telling him that his dream represents something that's going to happen in the end time. It wasn't even something that he should be sharing, but he gave a description of this this powerful person who will rise up. And the description is, for me, I feel like this was a description of the devil. Because he says, you know, he will destroy mighty men and the holy people. His attempt is to destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. So we know he's all about himself and his power.
So you think this is talking about the devil in 24?
I think 24 and 20, you know, through 24 through 25. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. That's 25. And he will magnify himself. himself in his heart, and he will destroy many while they are at ease. So, you know, people leave their, have to leave their guards there.
Okay.
And he will even oppose the prince of princes. Mm-hmm. And we know who the prince is. I mean, he's just like, yeah, I think this is definitely a description of it.
Okay, can we get that clarified for next week, God willing? I don't see that as a double. I could be wrong, because it's talking about the kingdoms, four kingdoms shall stand up. This is 22, out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom. So it seems like it's talking about empires or nations, more so than the devil to me. When the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and the understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That sounds like Jesus in 23.
Yep. Well, Jesus is not going to destroy. 23. Jesus is not about himself. You know,
no,
Jesus
but this
is not intimate.
But
he's not telling the description is somebody who is will prosper and perform his will. Jesus doesn't prosper and perform in this way his will. He is the will of God.
He does the Father's will. Right.
The Father's will. And Jesus doesn't magnify himself in his heart. And it says, you know, this thing, he will magnify himself in his heart. So those are opposite attributes to Jesus. That's what it appears to me.
Okay, that's all. We're going to get a clarification on Daniel 8:13-26. Amen.
Okay. Where are y'all?
Miss Hilda, you in that
where,
too?
Where are you guys at?
We're in Daniel 8. Starting, we're part B of part 6 on page 152. We're talking about background ministry, and we're looking at Daniel 7:15-27, and the part for homework is 8, chapter 8, verses 13-26. You have an opinion on that?
I can't get all that. You're just going too fast. You got to slow it down a little bit.
Okay, then you got to come in a little earlier so we don't have to go over stuff.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, you know, I was having problems with...
So the homework is
Hello?
To find out just, who this is that we're speaking of.
I hear
you.
I have to be... Like, you just... I can't write that fast. I have to type the stance. I'll get it from me. It'll be okay. The thing
okay,
is,
so you're going to do the homework assignment too?
Well, like I said, I just got this system up and running again because I had to be able to get on through Skype. So I had to install Skype, put it back up, then I had to get the number. So I finally got it going because I couldn't get on Google because I was using Google before because it was, but then I couldn't use Google. And I don't want to use my phone because then I can't use my my microphone. Then I can't use my system. So everything is tied into the mixer.
Well, I just want to say that this Bible explains what these verses are. And it says these verses give added detail concerning Antiochus and his persecution of the Jews.
We're in Daniel.
Where we are in the lesson of
page 152, we're talking about part 6 in relation to the church, talking about the angels. We did A, basic ministry. We did B, background ministry. That's where we are now, background ministry.
You said page 152.
Page 152, part 6.
What chapter
angels
is that?
Have been involved in communicating and revealing the meaning of truth which the church benefits from today. And the homework assignment.
I can tell you where I'm at, because I'm trying to pull it up. In
okay.
relationship to the ministry of Christ, right? Did I pass?
What Daniel 8:13-26 means.
Chapter 21, the ministry of angels, right?
Right, page 152, talking about the ministry of angels. But I think Nadine said she had it, right? Don't you see?
I don't have pages in front of me.
Nadine
said
she had it. She said she has a commentary.
Yep. Yep. Go ahead, Nadine.
Nadine, what's the section?
Part 6. In relation to the church, part 6.
Nadine, you got to come and show me where you at right here. Just come in here and show me so I know where you're at. See, we're using logos, so... If you don't have logos, then, you know.
Antioch.
No, you're not using the book.
Yes, I understand.
So you just got to
kind of. You don't even have the pages on there, right?
Well, we're using a computer program.
So you don't have pages on there. Is that correct?
All right. So it's background ministry. Oh, okay.
Right. And we were talking about the scripture.
So how did it all relate? How did it all relate to angels have been involved communicating and revealing?
That's what we're trying to discern right now. That's why we're having a homework assignment. But if Nadine found it already, we can move on. So 8:13-26, you have the commentary on that?
Yeah, she says she.
You would you like to share that? I don't know what you said.
Like I said, I have it, but I'll do it as a homework assignment only because it doesn't really explain to me. I have to look up who Antiochus is to give a clearer understanding of the scripture. But it basically says that these verses give added details concerning Antiochus and his persecution of the mm-hmm. Jews. Mm-hmm. That's what section 8:23-25
right.
Is about. Yeah. So it ain't the devil and it ain't Jesus.
No, it's God. It's
Antiochus. It's
oh,
about,
Antiochus,
it says,
but the prince of princes,
like I said, these
is
verses,
God. In 25, okay, 8:25, right? It says, in my commentary, it says, this prince of princes is God himself. No human power. Yeah, no human power could defeat the king whom Daniel saw in his vision, but God would bring him down. Antioch the fourth, Epiphanes reported he went insane and died in Persia in 164 BC. God's power and justice will prevail. So we should never give up our faith or lose hope, no matter how powerful God's enemies may be seen. That's 25.
Amen.
That's the commentary.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on,
Do you believe that angels have been involved in communicating and revealing the meaning of truth?
Yeah, that's what we're learning now.
You're right.
I mean, would you say that it is that angels are involved in communicating and revealing meaning of truth, and the church benefits from it today?
Yes.
That's what we're looking
because at the scriptures that we're reading.
I'm just talking about in today's modern times.
Oh, yes.
When you apply it to today.
Right, you apply what you read, like with, when Hilda just explained 25. So this was a scripture that Daniel, this is a vision that Daniel had, right, where the angel interpreted it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when Hilda looks up, we in the church today, you know, she applied it to us today, that no matter how horrible, you know, our enemies may be, that
right,
there's always victory in Christ. There's victory in God that
mm-hmm,
you know, they can never. Right.
So I just want to interject, if I can. Excuse me.
Direct statement that it involved in communicating and revealing the meaning of truth. How are angels involved in communicating?
I just want to say this, if you can allow me to, that we were talking about verse 25, and the princess is talking about Jesus. That was the question for the research. Amen? That's the whole thing.
Yes.
Someone had said it's the devil. I said, no, I don't think that, so we're going to do homework. But that's been answered. Thank you, evangelist. The prince of princes is talking about God.
Right.
Amen? And it says that it shall be broken without hand. In other words, it's not going to be a combat.
Right.
It's not going to be a war as such. God and his imminent power
mm-hmm,
is going to
mm-hmm,
do what he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and we know that we don't fight against skin, and we don't fight against, we fight against
flesh,
right,
power,
we don't fight against
principalities in high places. Hallelujah.
Right.
But how does that relate to the text? Like, how does that scripture relate to angels have been involved in communicating and revealing the meaning of truth? How does that?
Well, it's showing us in Daniel. It's showing us in Daniel that she just read that the angel revealed this in a vision to Daniel.
Yeah.
And it's happening. And it's more will happen.
So
the
vision
we're seeing a glimpse of it now, but on the day of judgment, we're going to see even more.
Right. Well,
Amen.
Amen.
Being that it's in Revelation.
Mm-hmm. No, this was in Daniel.
No, this is Daniel.
We're still
right.
Daniel, 8:13-26. We didn't get to Revelation yet.
Right, I'm just saying that Daniel's still, like, in itself, there's a correlation between Daniel.
You're right. Revelation and Daniel is kind of correlated, exactly. Talking about the end time, exactly.
Right. So I think, in that respect, which the church benefits from today, but how does the church benefit from, well, we benefit from it in terms of understanding our Christian walk, you know, and, like, we benefit from the revelation through the word itself, you know, because angels have been involved in communicating. And I think it's amazing to think about angels, you know, specifically, you know, now that you study where angels are, you think about them specifically, right? You know, someone who encounters an angel and knows it.
And knows it?
Yeah, that's different. Like, you know, meeting someone who encountered an angel and know they encountered an angel.
Okay.
And they know.
So I have a question. How do they know that they've encountered an angel?
Well, obviously, there have to be somebody that knows they encountered it because we're reading about them.
What?
According to this, angels are real. And obviously there have been people who have encountered. We're reading it here with Daniel. So
I encountered an angel.
Right.
So did
so,
I.
I had an encounter with an angel.
That,
okay,
you know,
can we hear your encounter? About your encounter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened?
I was, I think I had told you guys this, but I had, I had lost my wallet. I didn't have any money. And so I couldn't get home. I couldn't get on a train. I didn't have a metro card. I had nothing.
How long ago was this?
I don't know. Maybe I was working. So I was still working on 106th Street. I was working at Jewish Home. So I guess it was like probably in the 1990s, like early 2000s. And so I was frantic. So I got on the phone and I called. I called somebody. I forgot who I was talking to on the phone. But I'm on the phone, payphone in the street, because we didn't have cell phones. I'm on a payphone in the street, and I'm like crying hysterically. I'm like, oh my, I don't know how to get home. I don't have no money. And I'm crying on the phone. And this man came over to me, and he handed me $10 and just walked. And just walked away. He said nothing. He looked me straight in my eyes. He handed me $10. And he walked away. I'm like, thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. And he just had a smile on his face. And then the man walked away. I don't know where he went. And I don't know whether I was so involved with the $10 that I didn't notice where he went.
But can I ask you a question?
I got home that night, okay?
But in relationship to what we've studied, how would you say that man, where is that man in relationship?
That man is.
Ask you a question.
I'm going to tell you where it is.
Ask the question.
I'm going to tell you where it is. It's in basic ministry. Basically, angels help believers.
Excuse me.
That's
all
where
right.
It is.
You want to keep one at
question.
A time. One at a time. Nadine is talking, please.
The question.
Nadine is talking. Let her finish, please.
No, I was asking her a question. I didn't ask the question.
Oh, go ahead.
Where do you think this man is in terms of what that you can identify in the study of angels that we've been studying? From what we've studied so far, can you identify this man?
Yeah. In A, where it says basically angels help believers. In Hebrew 1 and 14 says, are they not all spirits engaged in a special service sent on assignment for the sake of those who are going to inherit salvation? That man was sent on a special assignment to
well,
hand
asking,
me that money to get on.
What I'm asking you is this, in terms of his description of angels that we've read about.
The one we just did now.
I'm asking you a question.
Angels have basic ministry. Basically,
I'm
angels help believers.
Question.
Read A.
I'm asking you a simple question, and you won't let me ask it to you. In terms of what, well, this doesn't describe what angels look like. It just says what they do. In the study, did it describe angels that look like people from the study? Would you say it's strictly from what you've read? Or would you say that descriptively angels are not human?
Well, from what we've read, the angels that came to Lot, you know, that they tried to rape, they had to look like humans in order for them to think that they could ask them to come out of Lot's house to have sex with them.
I think the
so
point
I think
is,
that they look like humans.
I think the text is saying that they're not human.
Can I answer something before I have to get off the line?
I think like the text itself says that angels are not human.
Yes.
Can I just answer one thing before I have to go? Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So we don't necessarily know that they're angels, but by their deeds, they can be identified. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 13:2.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to, I don't know if y'all want to continue, but I have to get off the line. You want to be prayed out or you want to stay on?
Prayed out.
You don't have to go because I have to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello?
Prayed out. You can pray us out.
No, you pray us out.
You say Apostle, Hebrews 2 and what?
Hebrews 13:2.
Oh, 13.
Well, we thank
thank you.
Bob.
Hebrews 13:2.
Thank God
you.
For what is doing. We just want to say, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in God's sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
So much. Thank you so much for that prayer. I'm glad you got your computer up. So next week.
Everybody loves your teaching, so we want to keep encouraging you to keep on keeping on. For the
yeah, suit
keep
me up.
Confirmation,
for the Lord. You doing it for the Lord, and thank God for you.
I
say,
amen.
God.
Anyway,
God
Apostle, I appreciate all the accolades.
God.
I can still teach, but I want you on the line, okay, please?
Amen.
Right.
Yes,
amen. Can we do that?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Good night, all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Love you all.
Thank God for Skype, okay? Thank God for Skype. All right.
Thank God.
Yeah, I got Skype. I got
love
you.
Y'all. I got another thing to go on. They'd be mad when I come too late.
All right.
Love you. Shalom.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys. Shalom.
All right. You guys.
On that note, we are all belongs to you by the Wiki Tones. Praise God.
Yeah.
I want to be more like
thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.